Now, I would like to read tonight four portions of the Word of God, four very well-known portions, which you'll find all in Luke's Gospel, all found in Luke's Gospel. The first you'll find in chapter number 12, Luke's Gospel and chapter 12. Luke's Gospel and chapter 12, and we'll read together from verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Turn over a few pages to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And this time we'll read from verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Turn over another couple of pages to chapter 19. Luke's Gospel in chapter 19. And we'll read together, please, from verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Turn over, please, to chapter 23 for our final reading. Chapter 23 for our final reading, and we'll read together, please, from verse number 32. Luke 23 and 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And we do indeed trust that God will bless the public reading of his word this evening. As I've said, we have read four portions from Luke's gospel this evening as we seek to come and as we seek another time not to speak of ourselves, but to speak of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers to you this evening if you're found in the meeting or indeed listening in online, still out of Christ and without a Savior. You know, we have read four readings this evening. Three of them, we have noticed phrases that come from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 12, Luke 16, and Luke 19. But then in our final reading in Luke 23, it's not the Savior speaking, but it's someone speaking concerning the Savior. Do you know, I want to leave you four points this evening. Luke's Gospel in chapter 12, we read there the words of the Savior where he said, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." As we consider that tonight, dear friend, I want to consider there the peril of the sinner. The peril of the sinner. Then we read in Luke 16 concerning the rich man. And there the Savior again is the speaker. And he says this concerning the words of the rich man. He says, "This place of torment." This place of torment. Then as we move on into Luke 19, that well-known story concerning Zacchaeus, we want to see there, what does the Savior say? It's not this night, it's not this place, but he says, "This day is salvation come to this house." Luke 12, this night, it's the peril of the sinner. Luke 16, it's the place of the sinner. Thirdly, tonight, in Luke 19, we see, praise God for the possibility for the sinner that salvation could become to this house. And then finally, dear friends, as we draw our remarks to a close, we want to take ourselves again to Calvary tonight. And I want to bring before you again the suffering and the bleeding Lamb of God, the one who indeed came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And there we're going to consider what the malefactor said concerning the Savior. He said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." The peril of the sinner, the place of the sinner, the possibility for the sinner. But praise God, tonight I can come to tell you concerning the provision for the sinner. You know, as we come to the meeting tonight, these are four, as I've already said, four very well-known passages of the Word of God. You know, dear friend, tonight, gathered in under the sound of our voice, maybe you're just here to please Mummy and Daddy tonight. Maybe you're listening in online tonight because you're searching for something. You know that there's a void within your being. And you probably know full well that that void can only be filled by the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, dear friend, tonight, I have to remind you tonight that maybe you're found here tonight and you've just come to please somebody and you can't wait till the time would get up until you'd get out through the door, until you'd get away, till you'd get back home to those things that you spend your time with. I don't know what that is. You know, I was thinking as I was coming down the road tonight, as I drove along, there's so much tonight and it all happens in a very small device that we hold in our hand, our phone. One of the biggest distractions that has ever come about. Yes, very good in its own way. Very good if you decide to go out for a walk, download a message, listen to it while you're walking. But yet there are so many things for the sinner tonight that can be a distraction. Maybe you're sitting tonight, maybe as you listen, maybe I'm speaking in the background and as you're listening, you're just checking through what Facebook has to say. Maybe you're checking what the share prices are like tonight. Maybe tonight it's the betting apps that you're stuck on tonight. So many of these things that can take up our time. So many of these things that distract us from the things that really matter. You know, when we look at this rich farmer tonight, you know what he was concerned with? It was all very well. It was all legitimate. It was his livelihood. God had blessed him. What does he say? He says, I have no room where to bestow my fruits and my goods. I will pull down my barns and build greater. Maybe tonight it's not the phone that's your problem. Maybe it's the farm. Maybe it's the work. Maybe it's that career path that you're chasing. Maybe tonight it's education that you're chasing. You know, I read a little note in a book the other day. I was at a job and they were stalling me and keeping me back. A little book that I hadn't even realized was in the driver's door pocket of the car. Challenge you tonight, dear parent. This is what Frank Knox said. He said, my parents weren't interested in education. He says, my parents were interested in my salvation. Why? To prevent my damnation. Young boy or girl tonight, found under the sound of my voice, I trust that you'll be wise. I trust that you will listen tonight to the sweet message of the gospel, to this very simple message of the gospel. I couldn't preach it any other way. I wouldn't have the intellect to do it. But dear friend, tonight, we want to think of this farmer tonight. We want to see what his time and was taken up with. It was just with the farm. You know, I think I've said it before concerning this farmer. His priorities were all wrong. If you still have your Bible open, if you look at verse number 17, it says, what shall I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. His first priority was the farm. Drop your eye down to verse 19. And then he says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Dear friend, tonight I wonder, have you realized what the problem is there? The order is all wrong. It's the fruits first and the soul second. Drop your eye to verse 20. Let's see what God's order is tonight. This is what it says. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul, number one, shall be required of thee. then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? God speaks about the soul first, and then he speaks about the goods. What about it tonight? With you, dear friend, tonight, that soul that is within your bosom, it's one of the most precious things in the world. The share price, the promotion at work, those are the things that you're maybe putting as number one. But yet, dear friend, tonight your priority should be that precious soul. You know, each of us found here tonight, from the very youngest sitting upon their mother's knee to the oldest, we're all sinners in the sight of God. Each of us here have done those things in our lifetime that were wrong. Each of us here have taken those things that didn't belong to us. Each of us here, in times gone by, have been disobedient to our parents. You see, dear friend, tonight sin is a very simple thing. But I want to remind you tonight, dear friend, that sin is a very serious thing. Dear friend, that soul that is within your bosom, it will never be in heaven with sins unforgiven. I wonder, will you be wise tonight? Will you realize the mistake that this farmer made? You know, it's a very serious thing to call someone a fool. But yet that's just exactly how God addresses this farmer. Thou fool. You know, dear friend, we're found in a bank holiday weekend. You know, I can cast my mind back to a bank holiday weekend 19 years past at the start of May. This farmer was told that this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, I can remember the Monday was a day just like we've had today. I was outside washing the yard. My wife came out in tears. She was standing 4 months pregnant with our third child. She'd had a phone call from the hospital saying that her father had taken a massive heart attack. The doctor told her on the phone, there was nothing we could do. Got up that morning fit and healthy and well. Went to his work. He worked for a farming contractor. He was asked, was he coming into the farmhouse for a drop of tea? And he said, no, I just need to go and get something out of the pickup. You know, the man that asked him about the tea turned to go into the house. He said he hadn't taken a step. My father-in-law dropped like that. Dear friend, tonight I'm not here tonight to hear my own voice. I'm not here tonight to be seen. But I'm certainly here tonight to be heard. And I come tonight to tell you concerning that soul that is within your bosom. Dear friend, you have opportunity tonight. Will you be wise? The peril of the sinner, or the danger for the sinner. That, dear friend, that breath that is within your lungs just now, granted by God, but yet it could be your last. The peril of the sinner this night. We need to move on. Luke 16. This place of torment. The place of the sinner. You know, it's my responsibility to tell you, young boy or girl, tonight, or older friend, that sin that is within your life, as I've already said, it's barring heaven's door to you. You know, dear friends, there is a place prepared for the devil and his angels, but yet it will be a place where the unsaved will find themselves if they reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. And it's this awful place called hell. You know, we've read about another rich man in Luke 16. You know, in some senses, he was just like you and me. He fared sumptuously every day. You know, aren't we so well looked after today? The Lord has been good to us. He was dressed in purple and fine linen. He had the best of the things of time and sense. But you know, there was an old man, just a beggar, that sat at his gate and he was full of sores. He had nothing of this world's goods. What does the Word of God tell us? It says that he desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Do you know what the awful thing is? This rich man that had everything and time, he had absolutely nothing for or in eternity. He found himself in a place that he called this place of torment. Do you know how bad it would be? And you know, even in the days of COVID-19, we're nearly afraid to touch each other's hands. But yet, dear friend, can I tell you concerning a rich man tonight that's found in hell? And he would have been quite happy to have taken a drop of water from the finger of a beggar. What must it be like to find yourself in that awful place? There's an awful place of woe. There's a place where sinners go if they die unsaved, but oh, will you come. We need to move on again. This night, the peril of the sinner. This place, the place of the sinner. Dear friend, tonight, I'm glad that I can come to Lurgan tonight to bring you the good news of the gospel. You know, dear friend, we have to bring you the bad news before we can give you the good. We have to tell you concerning the problem that you have before we can present to you the remedy. You know, dear friends, as we've read concerning Zacchaeus tonight, it's very fitting that the wee man from Cook should come to speak about that wee man that ran and climbed up into a sycamore tree for to see the Savior. For he was to pass that way. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, is he passing by you in Lurgan Baptist Church tonight? I wonder, dear friend, is the 30th of May 2021, is that the time when you will have that opportunity to have your sins forgiven? You know, it would do well if you were like Zacchaeus, if you were to run. You know, they tell me that in that country, it was a very strange thing to see a man running. You know, dear friends, he was in a hurry because Jesus was passing that way. What are you going to do tonight, dear friend? Another time this message of the gospel has been brought before you. Another time the person of our Lord Jesus Christ has been raised. Another time we have taken a look, and we look shortly at Calvary. What are you going to do tonight? Are you just going to let the Savior slip by? I trust that tonight that it'll be true of you just like it was true of Zacchaeus. That we'll be able to say tonight that this day is salvation come to this house. You know, I heard a story during the week concerning a young man who really had just had enough of this world, had struggled with depression, just couldn't see what the point of it all was. Praise God, the other day, he went and spoke to a man that was able to point him to the Savior. You know, that young man just trusted the Savior for salvation. Maybe you're like that tonight. Maybe you're fed up with the rat race of promotion at work, education, all of these other things that I have mentioned that can be a distraction. And maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're listening in at home, and you just wonder, how is it that I could get my sins forgiven? Praise God that the possibility for you tonight, as a sinner, is that you could walk out through that door tonight with salvation in your possession. Dear friends, tonight I'm going to move on. On a good night like that, I'm not going to hold you in, but listen. Our last point. There is the possibility for the sinner here tonight. But you know, that's only possible because of the provision that has been made for the sinner tonight. You know, we read in Luke 23 again concerning the Savior, that when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Dear friend, tonight there's no good in coming to me. Yes, I could point you to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but dear friends, tonight, it's the Savior you need tonight. This one that we say so often that he left the splendor of glory. He left the Father's side and he came into this scene of time. He grew up as that little boy. I wonder what it must have been like as Mary and Joseph watched him as he grew up. This little boy that was different from the others. And as he would turn into a man, and as he indeed would start his public ministry, and then we see one who preached like none other. This was the one who was destined for the cross. Dear friends, today, have you ever stopped to consider even what the Savior suffered ere he got to the cross? As he suffered at the hands of sinful men, as he endured that Roman lash that fell upon his back, and then as he would be taken out to Calvary's Hill, to that hill lone and grey in that land far away, in that country beyond the blue sea, where beneath a fair sky went a man forth to die. Have you taken it in yet? It was for the whole world. And for you, and for me. Those Roman soldiers took him. You know, I believe with all my heart that those Roman soldiers would have struggled with those malefactors as they kicked, as they swore, probably as they spat at them. But they would overcome them and they would nail them to that cross. Then, dear friend, can we see one coming just like a lamb to the slaughter? One that laid out upon that cross. One that was nailed by the hands and by the feet. What does he say to you tonight, dear friend? He says, look at my hands and see. I bore the nails for thee. I died to set thee free. What about it tonight, friend? Will you not come and rejoice? That cross was lifted, placed in its socket. You know, dear friends, the Savior hung upon the cross. He bled and he died. Praise God, tonight we can tell you concerning a soldier that came with a spear. Would plunge it into his side. Dear friend, tonight that debt that you cannot pay by yourself has been paid in drops of precious blood. But dear friend, you have to accept that the Savior has did it. Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he's washed me white as snow. Will you not come just in childlike faith tonight? Will you not come and just rest your all upon the work of the cross tonight? You know, I wasn't in the building before anybody else tonight. But I would imagine if I had been sat up here and looked down there tonight, as you came in, I'm sure you didn't feel the seat and give it a shake before you sat down on it. And just like you sat down on the seat tonight, just as you rested your all upon the seat tonight, would you not rest your all upon this finished work of the cross tonight? I quote my 4 points and I close. This night, the peril of the sinner. What would it mean tonight, dear friend, to go out tonight? To reject the Savior another time. You know, dear friend, there's no guarantee of getting home tonight. What's the difference for you and me tonight? The difference for you and me is this. If I should manage to have a mishap somewhere along the road, and you know, when the blue lights come, and they take me out of the car, and one looks at the other, I have been there and I have seen it. One looks at the other and they say, it's all over. For me, dear friend, tonight, I'm as sure of heaven as if I'm already there. But dear friend, if it was you tonight, if tonight your soul was required tonight, what would it mean for you? This night, the peril of the sinner. This place, I trust that you'll never find yourself there. Because with that perfect memory that the text would allude to, you'll remember this very message that has been preached. The place of the sinner. This place of torment. The possibility of the sinner. I trust it'll be true of you tonight, friend. That this day is salvation come to this house. Will you be like Zacchaeus? Will you get down off your high horse tonight and realize that you're just a sinner in the sight of God? But you need to make haste, for these things are important. Time is short. The possibility for the sinner. Praise God tonight, dear friends, I can tell you about the provision for the sinner. The Savior upon the cross, he cried in triumph, "It is finished." Could also be translated, "Paid in full." That debt of sin that you owe, that you will never be able to do anything with, not by praying nor paying, not by your charity work, not by any of these things. But dear friend, that awful debt of sin tonight could be blotted out. And how is that? You know, the words of the hymn haven't changed from I sang it in Sunday school quite a few years ago. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Dear friend, tonight, will you be wise? Will you get to the foot of the cross just where you're seated tonight? And just like those words that we read in Matthew's Gospel, will you be like those and you'll just sitting down, you'll watch him there. And you'll realize that when the Savior was held upon that cross, that it wasn't the nails that held him there, but it was love for you and for me. You know, dear friends, he didn't come down, but he finished the work. It's been enough for me. It's been enough for Colin. It's been enough for many in our meeting tonight. Will you not be wise and just accept that it's enough for you? Throw down those puny arms of rebellion. Cast aside those things of time and sense that mean absolutely nothing. And dear friend, tonight, make your soul salvation your number one priority, even ere you leave the building.